It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. It's like, I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to go a whole lot farther right away. Because I want you guys to really think about what's going on here in that situation. What's that father, what's that child really asking the father for? What's he really saying? And how does it make him feel? Because basically when I hear that, what I'm hearing is, what he's saying to him is, I can't wait for you to die. I don't like you. But I still think I should get about half your stuff. Right? It's pretty rough. I was thinking about it this morning a little bit, just kind of off what I kind of had planned to talk about, but I was thinking in some ways that's, you know, when we sometimes we come to God that same way. You know, we want what you got for us. We want your blessings. We want to go to heaven. We want all this and that, but we really don't want to do what you say. We don't want to spend time with you. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to worship you. That's kind of a mute point. You guys are all here, right? So I'm kind of preaching at the choir. It's not... Not what I'm trying to do today. It also seems to me like this sense of entitlement that we see today is nothing new. It's always been here. Kind of the same idea played out back then. So I don't know about you guys, but to me, I don't know that my reaction would be as pleasant as this father's is. I would be upset, hurt at least, and probably just said no. But we read in Luke 15, 13 through 21. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth on wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Am I squealing out there, or is that just up here? Where was I? Food to spare. Here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, I'm sure that you've heard a lot of people refer to their own children maybe as prodigals, right? They had that one prodigal child, the one prodigal kid that... And most likely that idea is based on this parable. And we kind of come to this understanding that usually means that this child's the one that's lost. Or this child is the one that's wandered astray or gone off the path or gone a different way than what they were taught. And Jesus, he never uses the word prodigal. That's a word that was assigned to this parable later on by other people as time went on. They called this the parable of the prodigal son. But the word prodigal probably really doesn't mean what you think it means. At least it didn't to me as I kind of was looking into this and studying a little bit. The definition of the word prodigal is spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, and extravagant. One definition gave the example, the dessert was crunchy with brown sugar and prodigal with whipped cream. So another word for prodigal might be even generous, or might even be reckless, or something like that. But it really doesn't mean lost at all. And for years, that's what I always thought it meant. It meant lost or wandered away. So with this definition in mind, as we kind of come to this parable, who's the prodigal in this parable. The son, he was wasteful. He was definitely reckless. He's prodigal. But overall, one thing we read is that the father in this parable, he might be a little bit prodigal too. We have a saying that we say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? I'm not saying that the father goes out and does bad things like the son does. He didn't get involved with all the terrible things the son got involved with. But he is prodigal in the sense that he spends his resources generously and recklessly. If we read Luke 15, 22 through 24, it says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found.' So they began to celebrate." So when the son comes home, what's the father do? He throws a big party, right? They kill the fat calf, they go all out, they do everything. And before this, the father's already given him half everything he owns. He didn't argue with him. He didn't say no. He just did it quick. Just take it. Okay, you want it? It's yours. You got it. And only because his son asked him to. The son, who didn't deserve it anyways, just asked him and he said, okay. But we also read that in addition to the party, he does a couple of things. And this is a pretty common observation from this parable. He goes farther still, and he gives him a couple things. He says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And these weren't just random things. He just okay, you need some shoes or whatever. These are very specific things that he chose. The robe. The robe represents his identity. He wants his child to wear the best, right? He wants his child to look the part. Think about Joseph and his coat of many colors. The robe means he's valuable. The sandals, they're important too. Now, it's kind of funny because I actually preached this sermon in Spanish for the Hispanic group, and in that culture, you got a lot of cultures there, but it seems to be one predominant theme is the chancla, all right? This idea that the Hispanic mothers in public, when their kid gets out of line, the chancla is the sandal, a flip-flop more exactly, I guess, and they'll take one of them off and give them a spanking with it. So when I asked the mothers, how many of you mothers out there would have gave this kid the chancla? They were like, oh, yeah, he'd have got it. So it was kind of funny. They all agreed that, yeah, he was going to get the sandal all right. But in this case, it actually means something different. In that time, slaves went around barefoot, right? And he doesn't want his son associating him or viewing himself as a slave. He wants him to see him as the son. Here, you know, make sure he gets sandals on his feet. He gives him back authority as well. The ring would have been a signet ring. That would have been something used to seal documents. He was able to go about doing the father's business at that point. The father, he doesn't even take time to wait and see if the son's going to be sincere. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit here to see how this goes. Let's test this out. Let's see. He just, here you go. You got it. He restores everything to him just like that. So by definition, I would say this father is also prodigal. He's generous, even reckless with the things that he has. This father, he's got one thing on his mind. That's his children. He's thinking about his son. He doesn't care about the money. The stuff is all he's got. His treasure is his child. And our Heavenly Father, he's prodigal with us too. He loves us generously. He loves us recklessly. If you think back over your life, you know this. He gives us an identity as his children. Even though we've all gotten lost, he gives us dignity. He frees us from the slavery of sin. But he also gives us the freedom then to choose. You can go back to that life, you can, but you can stay here with me. He gives us authority. He allows us to identify with him and with his church from the very first day. Very first day we come back to him. Okay. We don't have to prove ourselves first or anything. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." So he calls us his children. And we can all think of countless reasons why he shouldn't. We can all think of countless reasons too, just like that son, why we think, man, maybe we shouldn't come home. Because we all know the distant lands that we've traveled to. Just like that son, he went some pretty dark places. We all know the dark places that we've gone in our lives. We know the places we've been. We know how low we've really gotten. And God knows too. It's not a surprise to him. He's not shocked. And he still loves us anyways. And through Jesus Christ, God made a way where there was no way. Jesus is the way home. That's that road that he took to get back to the Father. Jesus is the road we take from the hogs to home. It's important that we understand the role of the Father in all this. Just like the Father in the parable, God's the one that receives us. God's the one that restores us. It's all him. All we do is show up one day, just a dirty mess, smelling like hogs, and he runs out to meet us. And our understanding of this truth has a huge impact. It has an impact in how the world on the outside views the church. How us, the church, how we view the world. Luke 15:25-32, it says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Like I said, it's a real common observation that we look at when we study this parable or read about or hear sermons about it, that both of the children had problems with their hearts, right? But have you ever noticed that both of the children, both the sons, see themselves as no better than slaves? One says, "I'm unworthy to be his son. I just want to be a servant." And the other one says, "I've did nothing but slave for you for all these years." One son ran away from home. The other son, I don't think he ever really understood what home was. The youngest son thought that home wasn't good enough at first, so he goes and he runs off. Many times we see this. This is our kind of our view, what the world does. If fall on their stomachs is what it says. They think there's something better out there, something better than what God has to offer. I believe they follow the world and it'll give them what they want. But even in the church sometimes we get tempted. We get tempted to get what we want. Maybe if we just steal a little. Maybe we just lie a little. We just cheat just a little. We can have everything that we want. But we always learn that this road that we take just leads us back to being slaves to sin again. The other son thought that home was just a job. Sometimes that's us on the flip side of that coin. That's us. That can be us here at church sometimes. We think that the love of the Father is just something that we have to earn, that we work so hard to get. In both cases, we find people who are slaves to bad understanding, misunderstandings. In the parable, neither son understands the love of the Father. But one of the most important parts of that whole parable is that the Father goes out to meet them both. The one, when he sees him coming, he runs out and hugs him. Runs out, wraps his arms around him. The other one, when he knows he's not the party, he goes out and finds him. But there's another interesting part of this parable. As I was kind of like thinking about it, mulling through it in my mind a little bit, that we don't know how it ends. Did the younger brother change? Or did he run off again? Was it happily ever after? Or does it just go right back down that same road? And I kind of came to a conclusion that maybe that's the point. That we don't know the ending. Grace has been lavishly given to us. We know this. And in turn, we give grace lavishly away. We don't always get a guaranteed result. We don't always know the results of the grace that we give. Will it be effective? Are we just wasting our efforts? But knowing the results is not the point. The point is that we're supposed to give it generously. We shouldn't worry so much about the result or try to decide when and where showing grace is going to be the most effective or where it's going to reap the greatest rewards. We're just called to be prodigal with it. It's like the word says, you don't want to sow sparingly. We want to sow abundantly, generously. And we need to trust God with the outcome. Let Him see that through. I don't know. I guess I was thinking about this. You think about Father's Day. For some people, Father's Day is a great day. Go see Dad, hang out with him a little bit. Some people it's not. Some people it could be a severed relationships there, tough relationships. If it is, I would challenge you. Be prodigal with the grace that you've been shown. It could be a hard message. It could be a hard thing to do. But you want to give your Heavenly Father the best Father's Day gift that you could give Him? Love His children. Welcome His children back home. Don't despise them when they're still far off and you find them out there in the hog pen. No matter how far away they've wandered. Show them the way home. Tell them that their heavenly Father has missed them and thinks about them day and night. Let them know that they're worth more than sparrows. Let them know that there's a better way, there's a way home. Because fathers do like a lot of different things. But good fathers love their children. And they love to have them come home. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you love us recklessly. The grace you've shown us is generous and abundant, even beyond that. But I pray that as a church and as a group, you'd help us to show the love and the grace that you've shown us. Help us to show us generously and abundantly. Lord, help us to find your children that aren't home and show them the way back. Just work in our hearts and minds. Give us patience. Give us grace. Give us understanding. The understanding of the grace that you showed us is just the same grace that we got to give the world. We ask this in Jesus' name.